You're listening to Bay Curious. I'm Olivia Allen Price. This is the second episode in our two-part series on how to make friends. Last time we heard how to find potential friends, and now reporter Jessica Plachek is back to tell us how to make them closer.
Hey, Olivia.
Hey, what's up?
So we're trying to make better friends, huh?
Yes, always. Please tell me how.
Okay, well, to get at that, I want to talk about the different kinds of friends we have, because for eons, we've been grouping friends into different categories. And someone who's done a really interesting job of that is Aristotle.
Aristotle. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
We're going there. So he really made me rethink a lot of my relationships in the way he categorized friends, which are in three groups: utility, pleasure, and the good.
Ooh, tell me more.
Friends of utility are people whose friendship makes life easier. A lot of our coworkers probably fit into this category, but so might that barista you're friendly with who might give you free coffee sometimes.
Maybe the neighbor who feeds your cat.
Totally. Or the bus driver who will slow the bus down when you're running to catch it.
The best bus drivers do that, yes.
The second group is friends of pleasure. These are friends that you have fun with, who you enjoy doing similar activities with.
For me, I think of this group of women who I run with all the time. You know, we get together, we go out for runs, we have a great time, we maybe have a beer, but then we say goodbye, and it's great.
And the last group, unsurprisingly Aristotle's favorite, are friendships of the good. These are friends who have great virtues, whose values you share, and who are just all around good people. Like, I think of my friend who's incredibly thoughtful and caring in all her relationships.
Yeah, it makes me think of my best friend, Mandy. You know, in seventh grade, she came up to me on the first day of school and she kind of welcomed me with open arms. That revealed a lot about her, like how kind and caring and warm she is. And it's something that, yeah, I think I wish more of for myself.
And I also bet that she's probably more than just a friendship of virtue, just because you guys have been friends for so long, which leads me to say that these groupings are definitely not exclusive of one another. Like, I'm sure Mandy is both a friendship of virtue and probably pleasure. Like, you guys do fun things together.
Yeah. And even utility. We lived on the same hall in college, so it was really nice to say, hey, Mandy, can you pick up my mail?
So that's Aristotle's way of grouping things, but then there's the way most of us have been doing it since we were kids, going from, you know, casual friend to close friend, your BFF.
BFF, for sure.
Yeah.
Charm bracelets, that whole deal.
Totally. And friendship formation expert Jeffrey Hall, who we heard from last episode, has some pretty clear delineations of this.
So a casual friend is that you like over other people, but you don't necessarily spend a lot of time with outside the place that you meet them.
This could be the guy that I always text pictures of airport art to, but we don't ever plan to hang out. So,
I want to know more about how that relationship started.
We talked about airport art once at a party, and now we just text each other pictures of it.
Your life is so random.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to the next one.
So a friend is somebody that you might invite to come to a party or might spend time with outside the place that you meet them, and also could have been somebody you were very close to in the past, but you don't know as well as you used to. And so friends are both kind of the people who are going up in closeness and also the people who you have gone down in closeness because of proximity.
I feel like this is most of my friends. Like, I really only have a couple people who I really would consider close friends, I think.
Totally, totally. And so it could be like, you know, your old college besties. You're not texting each other like you used to, but they're your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now let's hear about the last group, close friends.
A close friend is reserved to people that you would share really important information in your life. You would seek out in times of trouble or stress. You'd be able to rely on and count on to be there for you when things get their worst.
Like we heard from last episode, for me, this is like Anne Marie.
I feel like it's also like someone you can maybe be naked in front of and be like, oh, it's fine.
Depending on your cultural background, but yeah, yeah. So we've just defined different kinds of friendships, but defining it's one thing and turning, say, a casual friend into a close friend, much harder.
There was like a script that I would follow to go on these dates.
This is Abe Katz. He's about 30, and he moved to San Francisco last year. He's noticed some distinct differences between searching for friends and searching for romance.
When you enter into some dinner or drinks situation, there's this expectation that like, all right, we're going to spend 2 hours or 3 hours together, and then we're going to decide to see each other again. And whatever we decide, it's going to be like very explicitly decided. We're going to say the words, or we're going to text the words, whatever, but it's going to be like very clear.
Abe's found the script for Friends is not quite as clear.
It's like we have, you know, a great dinner, and then I would wonder, like, wait, is the ball in my court? Are we seeing each other ever again? Is the ball in their court? And I don't know why, but I found this to be like kind of anxiety inducing.
I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. There isn't like a certain formula to follow when you're making a new friend.
Totally. And I wonder if there could be. So I talked to this woman also on Zoom, Angie Thurston. She co-authored How We Gather and other reports that look at how we build community. And she thinks maybe we could use a script for friendship the way we have one for relationships.
Rather than just, okay, I'll see you if I see you, or we'll catch up every 6 months or whatever, to put a little bit of contour around that and say, you are one of the people who really matters to me. And what might it look like for us to add a layer of consecration to this relationship?
Consecration, like making things more official. This could mean maybe having the conversation with friends the way we do with lovers when we want to take it to the next level. Asking a person, will you be my close friend? And maybe even planning to meet up definitively every month.
You know, it's a kind of missing category in many respects in our culture. There's the sort of lover or partner or boyfriend or whatever character, right? And then there's family. But friends are often rather left out in the lexicon, and especially committed friends.
And you can see this implemented institutionally. So just from who can sign for you at the hospital, your friends usually can't sign. It's most often family members or your partner.
Yeah, that makes sense that we would like really prioritize those relationships over friends. I think also because as you age, oftentimes there's this belief that friends kind of are going to fall away, whereas your family and your partner, like, they are there. You're there for life.
Right. And, you know, most of us are just not ready to talk about making friends official or having these kinds of scripts. So how do we make friend crushes closer? Let's talk about three practical tips. The first one is reciprocity, because for all kinds of friendships to even survive, they have to be reciprocal, meaning both parties need to be making an effort. They need to be hanging out. And reaching out to people regularly is a great predictor of lasting friendship.
And don't be flaky. I feel like that's one thing that, especially in the Bay Area, we are often criticized for, is flaking out on friends when plans have been made. Don't be flaky.
Yep. Okay, and tip number two is time. Jeffrey Hall says just like you need to spend time socializing to find friends, you need to spend a lot more time making them closer.
It takes between 40 and 60 hours to be able to become a casual friend, then roughly 80 to 100 hours to become a friend, and over 200 hours to become a closer best friend.
It's completely crazy to me that he's broken it down into numbers. But Hall also says it matters what you do during that time. Just working with the person isn't going to do it. You have to do fun things like taking walks in the park, dancing to your favorite music, going to the spa. Or you have to talk, having really meaningful conversations, catching up or joking around.
So you can imagine spending time in leisure, never talking about things that are particularly serious, right? But you can also imagine people, you know, meeting up at graduate school or at work and having a serious conversation or something that's really important, but not necessarily hanging out together.
The third thing you can do to make people closer is to context shift.
So a context shift is the idea that you develop closeness in friendships through asking people to spend time with you outside the place that you met.
Which can be a little scary, but I do find it less intimidating if I can invite friends to a really cool experience, like our coworker Tiffany Kamhai. I took her out surfing, and then she took me out riding motorbikes, and that was definitely solidifying of our friendship.
So inviting people to spend time with you outside school, if you've met at school, or outside of work, when you've met at work, establishes that you're not only somebody that I want to spend time with, but someone who I might get to know in a different way by being outside of the context where we met.
Do you want to know a kind of sad story about context shifting?
Oh no, okay.
It involves you and me.
What did we do? What did it fail?
A couple years ago, when we were kind of still getting to know each other, you invited me to go to a haunted house. And initially, I thought it was just like a fun friend thing to do. But then it was for a story.
Oh my God. I don't remember.
I thought we were context shifting. And I was like, oh, wait, no, we're just coworkers. And then I was like kind of embarrassed that I had thought that we would context
shift.
Oh, I'm
so sorry.
I've now revealed myself.
Okay, well, yeah, which brings me to the fact that these tips are not guaranteed. But all this is not only on you, but partially on the system. Like, some of us need to work less if we want to have more time to build these relationships, which is important because now a lot of people are considering loneliness a public health issue. Like the former Surgeon General of the U.S., Vivek Murthy, he's even declared loneliness an epidemic with effects as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
In the UK, they now have a minister of loneliness. And in Canada, too, there's like unfolding policy changes and all that.
This is Angie Thurston again. And while most Americans don't see loneliness as a problem that government needs to address, she thinks the government can help.
The government? What kind of socialist podcast is this?
Stop. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. On the simplest level, municipalities can encourage relationships that might have a lot of propinquity, if you remember. That means routine opportunities to get to know each other. One way is to throw a block party. That way, neighbors can meet each other and maybe become friendly. But Thurston can dream even bigger.
You know, what would it look like to have a loneliness tax on self-checkout machines and Netflix, right? Or what would it look like to actually have that tax then go to help support the 3,500 churches that are closing every year in this country? What could we transform those spaces into?
She wants to see more opportunities to socialize outside of home and work. Like, how can we make it so places like libraries and parks can be made more public and, say, open 24/7 with social events that encourage the meeting of neighbors and like-minded folks?
To me, that's a lot more practical.
These are just wild hypotheticals, but it's this kind of imagination that I would love to see in some kind of pilot form.
So perhaps we could follow the UK's lead and get a secretary of friendship, a person who can write policy that would grease the wheels to making more friends.
After all your reporting, I feel like you would be a great secretary of friendship, Jessica. I vote for you.
Thanks, Olivia.
Well, thanks for teaching us so much today.
Want to go to a haunted house?
Oh, not again. Don't play with my emotions like that. That's it for today's show. To learn about loneliness, community washing, and this, go to baycurious.org. Bay Curious is made in San Francisco at KQED. I'm Olivia Allen Price.